Sweet C in Emporia. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Good Thursday morning. I'm Scott Hayes. It's 10:07.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents Candidate Forums 2021. Brought to you in part by ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6th in Emporia. Justice Painting, no job too tall or too small. Call Justice Painting, 757-2343. And Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, 115 West 5th Avenue in Emporia. And now, Candidate Forums 2021 on KBOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
Good morning and welcome to KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. This is our final candidate forum of the 2021 election cycle. Chuck Samples, your host here from the KVUE studios, as we get set to launch into our second and final forum involving the USD 253 Emporia School District race. Earlier this week, we had Mike Crouch, Lillian Lingenfelter, and Paul Meinke joining us, answering our questions and yours. Today, our guests are Christina Faulkner, Jamie Reaver, and Jennifer Thomas, all joining us again on the KVUE Sutherland studio line here today. Christina, good morning. How are you today?
Well, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us here today. Jamie, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Chuck. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Great to be here.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you all for joining us here today with the election now less than a month out. We'll go through a couple of housekeeping items here first. First off, as you know, our sponsors here through this candidate forum set are ESB Financial, Ray Roofing, Justice Painting, and Geotech. We're glad to have them on with us here out, not only with the individual forums, but really throughout this pre-election cycle here for November 2nd. And also, as has been the case here with our prior three candidate forums, one for school board, two for Emporia City Commission. We haven't had any candidates in studio. Typically, in a situation like what we've had in the past, we've allowed our candidates to either draw numbers, flip a coin, something along those lines to set the question answering order. But as we've been doing here so far this fall, we're simply going to start the process alphabetical by last name and then rotate who answers first, second, and third from there. So your questions are certainly welcome here through the candidate forum process here today. We will get to questions starting up here probably in about 5 to 10 minutes is what we're thinking right now. And with that in mind, we'll go ahead and get started with our opening statements. And Christina, your opening statement here as we get started on the candidate forum today.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. To introduce myself and why I'm running for Emporia Public School Board, I am very passionate about the importance of education. Education is essentially how I have made my life and gotten and been able to get a good career. And the year 2020 was a real eye-opener for me. You know, after spending my entire adult life putting my children and their education first, suddenly the ability to do that was taken. I was told my children needed to stay home to be safe. I felt at that time, after careful study of scientific evidence and looking at how schools in other nations were applying what was then known, that students should be on site with their teachers. I think everybody agrees with that now, after our kids have missed a year of school. It appeared obvious to me and to many parents who became increasingly frustrated with the seeming unwillingness of some people on the board to recognize or acknowledge that. I understood from the beginning how far many students would be behind if they weren't allowed to be in buildings with their teachers and friends. I tried to have my voice and the voice of other parents heard so we could do what was best and keep the children of Emporia in the school as surrounding districts were doing. Other districts just short miles from ours were in person and successful. However, our evidence and our viewpoints were most ignored by most of the board, and I realized at that time that there needed to be a voice for these parents, not with just this issue alone, but then many other issues came up as well, as including getting politics out of the classroom, focusing on basic education like reading, et cetera. And I felt that I felt called to step up and do it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Jamie, what's your opening statement?
Thanks, Chuck.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I'm running for Emporia School Board because I truly believe that education is the most important investment we can make in our kids. It's how we make them successful for their entire lives. You know, and as a parent, I can say with certainty that Emporia Public Schools has been great for my kids. But at the same time, we have a lot of challenges, and I want to be a part of finding a solution that works for everyone. I want to find a way for our district to better support teachers and staff through competitive compensation and benefits. I want to make sure that the academic and social-emotional needs of our kids are met, especially after they've lost so much time in school over the past 18 months. And we have to make sure that our students receive a quality education that gives them a competitive edge when they leave our school. You know, we have a solid foundation from which to start, but we have a lot of work to do in so many different areas, and I'm really looking forward to exploring those during this forum. And more than anything, I want to be a part of leading the change our community needs so our schools support everyone.
All right, Jamie, thank you. Jennifer, your opening statement. Jennifer, are you still with us? Okay. Jennifer, we need your opening statement, if you don't mind.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I got you.
Okay. Yes, my name is Jennifer Thomas, and I have chosen to run so that I can represent the USD 253 students and their parents and to support all of those in education. I have said it over and over during these last few months of campaigning. It is the single, education is the single most important factor in the success of any community. And I also chose to run because of the sheer number of Emporia residents who asked me to, because they currently feel underrepresented and that their voices are not being heard. We have had a significant amount of people whose eyes, and Chris kind of made reference to this, but whose eyes have been opened as to just how politicized education has become, as well as how much time in the classroom is actually spent disciplining and trying to manage certain situations as opposed to actual learning. COVID did not cause any of that, but it did further expose it. Many parents want education to return to what it was originally intended to be, which is a firm foundation. Like Jamie just said, it's a firm foundation on which a successful society is built. We have to have it. And we have dozens and dozens of amazing teachers in this community, and they want their jobs to be about teaching as opposed to bearing the burden of all of our societal problems, which is really, for many of them, what it has morphed into. There are many complex problems that need to be addressed, and I am ready and willing to work with anyone who wants to try to do that.
Okay, thank you. Now, in a lot of cases, our trio of guests here are pretty well known in the community, but we will ask this for folks that don't know, work family background and what makes you qualified to run for the board. Jamie, you get to start this off with this.
Well, I've lived in Emporia for 12 years. My family moved here in 2009, and I'm married to Kim Simons, and he is a professor at Emporia State University, and we have two kids at Emporia High School. One is a sophomore, and the other is a senior. And a little known fact about me is that before moving to Kansas back in 2009, I worked in school administration in, you know, a variety of schools, so I understand how schools operate, what their needs are. And for the last 2 years, I've been the executive director at Kansas Appleseed, which is a nonprofit advocacy organization. And that work really lets me be an advocate for kids throughout the state. Some of the work focuses on a school nutrition program, food assistance programs, and working to reform the foster care system. And then before that, I was the executive director of the United Way of the Flint Hills for 10 years. You know, I loved the work that I was able to do there. And some of the things I'm most proud of is being able to work with this community, understand the needs of the community, and try to develop, you know, solutions to help us get to the next level. Some of the work that I did was in 2013, I worked with the United Way Board of Directors to bring Dolly Parton's Imagination Library to our community, and that's a program that delivers free books every month for children from birth to age 5. And then another thing that I was really proud of was, you know, knowing that our summer meal participation rate was pretty low for students during those summer months. I worked with the City of Emporia and USD 253 to secure a grant so we could secure a food truck that would deliver those free meals to neighborhoods throughout the community where they don't have access to a summer meal site. And I'm still involved in Emporia Public Schools. I currently serve as the chair of the district's Mobilizing Literacy Advisory Board, which focuses really on kindergarten readiness. And I also sit on the Huffman's Foundation Award Committee, and that's a great opportunity for me to, you know, hear from teachers what's happening in their classrooms and then, you know, being a part of a committee that awards grants to them so they can continue to do some pretty innovative things in their classrooms.
Okay. Jennifer, what's your work family background for folks that don't know, and also what makes you qualified to run for the board?
Sure. Well, being born and raised here, I have deep roots in Emporia, and I am actually a product of USD 253. For middle school and high school. I actually attended Sacred Heart for grade school, but was in USD 253 from grade 6 through 12. My husband and I have three children. Our daughter just graduated from Emporia High. Our middle son is currently a junior, and our youngest is a fifth grader. We have had and currently have a front row seat in terms of seeing and experiencing our district through our children and our friends' children and all of that. This vantage point is what has motivated me to finally attempt to run for a leadership position. In terms of qualifications, I've been an educator for 22 years as a professor of health and human performance at ESU. I served 5 years as a faculty senator here at ESU and 1 year as second vice president of the faculty. I also serve on multiple committees within and closely associated with ESU. I have worked with the school district for the past 5 years, helping to facilitate their employee wellness program, and I've really enjoyed that and been able to get to know a lot of the all the different employees through that. I've worked with multiple Emporia businesses and entities, including Detroit Diesel Remanufacturing, Bechtec, City of Emporia, and CAMSO, to facilitate their employee wellness activities. And again, that's just given me a great chance to get to know all people from all different backgrounds and with all different viewpoints. So I really enjoyed that. I co-teach the college class at 12th Avenue Baptist Church and have done that for the past 3 years. For the past 11 years, as you know, I've gone on the morning show on KVOE to discuss various health topics that interest the community. And all of this has given me just the opportunity, and I have valued that, but it's given me the opportunity to really connect with people and to really listen to them. And that's one of the things I'm hearing as I've been out visiting with different community groups and talking with people is they want people to listen to their concerns and to their viewpoints instead of labeling them, instead of getting angry or saying mean things, and they want to be listened to. And I've really had a chance to do that, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm running because I want everyone to have a voice and to be heard.
Okay. Christina, what's your work family background for folks that don't know, and what makes you qualified to run for the school board?
Well, I was actually born at Newman Hospital. I like to joke I haven't gone far in life because now I work at Newman Hospital. So I am a physician. I'm an OBGYN physician. I actually am from Americus. My parents are Doug and Dar Wilson, and they have owned a business in Emporia until very recently when they retired. My entire life, they owned Masters Mechanic and Orange Door Storage. And they have been a great inspiration to me as far as work ethic and teaching me the value of getting a good education. I went to Northern Heights High School, graduated from there, and then went to the University of Kansas for undergrad, as well as KU Medical School, and then UMKC for residency, which is also in Kansas City. And then I came home, and I've been here for 13 years, serving the community as a physician. As far as what qualifies me to run, I've spent most of my life in the classroom, and I've built a career made only possible through education, so I understand the building blocks it takes to have a solid foundation to then be able to go out and have a successful career built on a good education. I'm also the parent of three children, so I have so-called skin in the game. I have a sixth grader, an eighth grader, and a sophomore in the district, so I have a vested interest in making sure that the district does well, and I feel like maybe the district needs a fresh viewpoint from someone that's outside of education, that's out in the community, out in the so-called real world, so we can help prepare our kids for the real world. And I would bring that viewpoint as well as a passion for a thorough and traditional education.
All right, let's take our first break. It's 1022 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Again, our final KVUE candidate form, USD 253 Emporia School Board candidates, Christina Faulkner, Jennifer Thomas, Jamie Reaver joining us here. When we come back, we'll dive into the issues at play, including the one that's really been leading pretty much everything here over the last 18 months. Our KVUE candidate form series here today is brought to you by ESB Financial, Ray Roofing, Justice Painting, and by Geotech.
Looking to get painting done but don't know who to call? Well, just call the folks at Justice Painting. They are your one-stop shop for all your painting needs. Offering professional painting services of interiors, exteriors, kitchen cabinets, drywall, and commercial work. With no job too tall or too small, just call Jerem for a free quote. That's Justice Painting, 620-757-2343.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's candidate forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6 in Emporia.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
KVOE News Time 1024. As we continue candidate forum here this Thursday morning, Jennifer Thomas, Christina Faulkner, Jamie Reaver, all running for the USD 253 Emporia Board of Education, one of the three slots that are available here this election cycle. Obviously, we've already referenced COVID-19 matters a couple of times here in the first segment alone, but that's really been the overarching issue here with this election at this particular stage of the game. Jennifer, let's get us started here on mitigation plans and philosophies. Briefly discuss your ideal mitigation plan and philosophy, and if COVID-19 was not in the picture, would you be running for election this time around?
Okay, sure. I believe, and I've said this at every speaking engagement I've done, I said it in the Gazette, I believe parents are equipped and that parents should have the right to decide if masks are best for their child or their children. I propose that we continue with scientifically proven methods of prevention, particularly sanitizing our classrooms and all school-related facilities, which that's helpful at all times in regards to all airborne infectious diseases, and we've had many of them. I also believe in encouraging consistent and correct hand washing, giving all students and employees access to sunlight and fresh air. Right now, I feel like a lot of them don't get enough of that and enough opportunities for that, and we know that it's helpful for immunity. Our students should be taught and encouraged to practice healthy behaviors that are proven to strengthen their immunity. And I'm biased here because I know the importance of good nutrition and exercise and things like that. But I think they should be, again, given opportunities to do that and just follow through on any healthy activities that they are able and willing to do. I would never under any circumstances support mandatory COVID vaccinations for faculty or staff. And it was a little concerning at last night's meeting because I really felt like that's where a couple on the board, what they're leaning toward, just with their some statements that were made. But I would never want to make that clear to everyone that's voting and everyone that's listening. I would not ever vote in favor of that. Our rights do not and should not disappear because of a health issue, even a serious one. And that fact just seems to be lost or ignored or whatever by many of those in public service. And again, that's nationally all the way down to the local level. As far as the second part of that question, would I be running if COVID was not in the picture? That is very hard to say. It's a definite maybe. It's impossible. I feel it's impossible to remove that from the equation at this point. Many teachers, staff members, and students are reaching out to some of us that are running, and they are scared to death that they are going to lose their right to make their own health decisions, and as a result, that they could lose their job or their kids could lose the right to attend school. And that's crazy. I'm hearing from people that they're like, I wake up every morning and I don't even recognize my own country, even here in Little Emporia. And it's sad to hear that kind of fear coming from people. The bottom line is COVID and both the national and local reaction to it is what is causing this fear and for this to potentially happen, that people could lose, again, their jobs and their right to go to school. COVID is raising and exposing issues that never would have been issues in normal times. It never would have been something that we would even think could have happened. I do think when it comes down to it that my answer would be yes, I would still be running simply because, and Chris made reference to this before, but I have a passion for seeing our education system fixed, revived, if you will, whatever you want to say. And until parents get involved and are willing to speak up, things are not going to change. Chris and I have spoken at multiple events, and we've heard dozens and dozens of parents say that educators are supposed to teach our students to think, not what to think. They're supposed to get them thinking, not dictate to them what they're supposed to think, feel, or believe. And many people, especially parents, but many are just now having their eyes opened as far as what is said and done in most classrooms, especially at the higher levels. They are seeing what resources are being used in the classroom, what sources are being quoted, and they're starting to question, how is that valid? Like, why is corporate media being used to try to educate our students and sometimes, again, manipulate their thinking? And that is concerning, and that's rightfully concerning. And I know some people are, you know, a lot of teachers get defensive about that. It's not all of them doing it. But the ones that are, again, the parents that are concerned, they need to be heard, and you need to be willing to listen to them and say, okay, you're right. You know, this shouldn't be happening. Let's discuss how this can be fixed. So, yes, I think I would still be running because there are just so many important issues that need to be addressed. And again, some of them are going to come up in the later questions, like the benefits for our faculty, which that's just been a debacle, you know, and it's a huge stressor for all of those in education right now. So there's just so many important issues that need to be addressed besides COVID.
On COVID, I want to ask a follow-up question and a brief question here. You mentioned here some of the things that you do support. Masks not on that list, obviously, and wanted to give you an opportunity to say.
No, I support masks absolutely. If people think, if parents think that that's what is best for their kid and to protect their child, okay, absolutely have your child wear one. And I would look hard into which type of mask actually protects them. Parents that want their kids to wear masks absolutely should do so. There are some parents out there, again, if you listen, who for whatever reason, that is not what's best for their child. And so, again, they are just wanting to be heard. And that's why I fully support masks, and I wear one here at ESU. It's the mandate that a lot of people have issues with.
Understood. All right, Christina, your turn. Your brief ideal COVID-19 mitigation plan and philosophy, and would you be on this ballot if COVID-19 was not a problem?
So my ideal mitigation strategy for COVID-19 right now would be to have the district make masks optional, so parents' choice. I would have them continue to encourage hand washing and good hand hygiene. I would have them encourage parents and kids to take seriously that they should stay home when they're sick. And I would do what we've already done, which is encourage all adults that want to be vaccinated to get vaccinated. But I am with Jennifer in that I am completely against vaccine mandates. I don't think people should be mandated to do something with their body they don't feel comfortable doing. I think it's a personal health decision. Some people argue that it's a public health decision, but I think it's because they misunderstand the nature of the vaccine. The vaccine does not keep you from getting or spreading the virus. It is a protective immunity, meaning it may protect you against severe disease, but it's not a sterilizing immunity, and that it won't keep you from giving the disease to others. So I think there's not a public health interest as far as the unvaccinated needing to be protected from the vaccinated need to be protected, sorry, from the unvaccinated. I mean, there's just not a public
health issue there because it's protective only for the individual, not for others. As I said, if you get the vaccine, you can still spread it. As far as the masks, I mean, I can tell you that people act like it's a foregone conclusion that science says that masks are best for kids in school, but that is absolutely not true. There's not a single randomized controlled trial that shows a benefit for masks. There's a few that show a marginal benefit at best, and many comparative studies where you compare schools that did not have a mask mandate to schools that do have a mask mandate, and they find no difference in COVID outcomes. I think it's also important for people to realize that our peer nations, as in the UK, Spain, France, Italy, the entire Nordic region, and that's not near all of them, they do not require or even encourage their grade school kids to wear a mask in school. And they're going through the same pandemic we are. They understand there are harms to children to wearing the mask. And one of them was brought up at last night's board meeting in that 78% of our first graders are at risk for reading because they don't get letter sounds yet. I don't see any other reason why 78% of our kids shouldn't be getting letter sounds by first grade other than the fact that it's difficult to teach letter sounds with masks. That's just the beginning of it. I mean, this is a social, psychological experiment on kids in real time. I don't think that's right. There are other districts right in our own county, North and South Lyon County, no mask mandate, doing just absolutely fine. Further, if you look at the flu pandemic from 2018 to 20, or not pandemic, just the flu season, sorry, from 2018 to 2019, which was six short months, 477 kids died nationally from the flu in 2018 and 2019. Did any one of you suggest that we should mask our kids to go to school at that time? I sure didn't. And then in 18 months of COVID, 361 pediatric deaths. And yet we think that masking, the benefit of masking outweighs the risk that we are doing in psychological, social, emotional, educational detriments that come from it. That being said, obviously, if you want to mask your kid, mask your kid. I have no problem with that. But how long does someone else get to decide what's right for my child? We've done it for 18 months. COVID's not gone anywhere. I mean, it's still here. It's not going anywhere. It's endemic in the human population in the world now. We need to learn to live with it and carry on with life so that our kids can start getting educated to the best of our ability again. I think last night's test scores, if anybody watched the district meeting, really showed we're in trouble.
I've got a question here before we get to Jamie's response about sources that you're, and this is clearly from somebody who's taking another side of this argument here, but the sources that you're using here for your thought process here.
So the quickest way, I mean, I think one thing people don't understand about me, this is not a choice I came through any political reason or anything else. I spent hours and hours and hours doing the scientific research, not looking at media. I don't really care what the media has to say about it. I look at scientific studies, and I listen to podcasts with other physicians. The quickest way to do it, though, would be to look up Dr. Jay Bhattacharya or Dr. Vinay Prasad. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is a medical professor at Stanford. He spent his entire life training. He has a PhD in training basically to look at studies and then make public health policy from it, which is different than what other doctors do, because the problem with having scientists and just general doctors say, oh, you should stay home or this, that, or the other, is that what plays into that is your risk tolerance. And people that have studied to do public policy understand that there is no such thing as zero risk, and that anytime you do one thing, to decrease a risk, you increase a risk for something else. There's always trade-offs in life. And so he is an MD, PhD. He's one of the leaders of the Great Barrington Declaration, which hundreds of thousands of physicians and scientists signed on to, that basically says protect the vulnerable, which are the elderly by and large, and use our resources to protect the vulnerable, but that other people need to get on with life as normal.
Okay. Jamie, I'm going to finally get a chance to ask your questions here. Briefly discuss your ideal COVID-19 mitigation plan and philosophy. And then as you're doing that, I'm going to say that we are going to open up both the phone line here and also the text line at 620-342-5863 if you have questions.
See, I can say with certainty that I would be running for school board no matter what this year. I actually wanted to run in 2019, and when there was an open seat available in 2018, I seriously considered applying for that. But, you know, with my job at the time at United Way, I felt like it might have been just a little bit of a conflict. And so I wanted to be able to, you know, devote my energy to fundraising for the community. And so that's what I had to focus on at that time. So my job is different now, and I have the ability to run for school board. And I think so much of why I want to run for school board is I've had just a great involvement in the last couple of years, the last decade. So it's a good opportunity to meet. Opportunity for me to take my involvement to the next level. And what I can say is that my goal in terms of where we are right now is to keep kids in school, keep kids going to school every single day, keeping everyone in the building safe and healthy. You know, my biggest fear is that we go back to a time when our kids are going to school 12.5% or 50% or 75%. You know, I never want to repeat those dark days of March through May of 2020 when there was so much uncertainty and so much fear. We need to keep our kids in school. We have to take all the appropriate mitigation strategies to make that happen. You know, we see other schools throughout our state where their health departments have shut them down because of outbreaks. And that is, you know, my worry. The school board has a lot of authority to make decisions around mitigation strategies. But if we have outbreaks in our schools, the decision to stay closed or open is not theirs. And so I love the mitigation strategies we're currently taking. I especially love the ability to test to learn. I love that if a kid has been exposed to someone else, you know, in the school, that they can continue to go to school because, you know, that policy changed. That policy change really made it possible for us to keep our doors open, to keep kids there every single day. You know, the social distancing when possible, you know, breakfast and lunch in the elementary classrooms, more plexiglass and barriers at lunchtime for the middle school and high school are all really important to that. You know, and, you know, masks, I know there's so much information out there about whether or not masks work or don't work. It really depends on what article you're reading, what day of the week. And so because of that, I just feel like my biggest fear is if we change something in the formula that we have, it could just put us back and we could see more exposures in our schools. And I want kids going to school every day. They need to go to school every day. We're so behind academically in so many ways because of COVID. We've got to keep kids in school and learning.
Okay, I want to take our break here. We've got two calls holding. I know we've got several calls that have come in through the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, but it's 1040 here on KVUE and KVUE.com. Got to take a break now. We'll get to the phones immediately after we get done with our commercial break, and then we'll also start going into the text questions that have come in to us as well. Jamie Reaver, Christina Faulkner, Jennifer Thomas, again, all candidates for the USD 253 Emporia Board of Education joining us here today. Our candidate forum here today on KVUE and KVUE.com brought to you by Ray Roofing, by Justice Painting, by Geotech, and by ESB Financial.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6 in Emporia.
Looking to get painting done but don't know who to call? Well, just call the folks at Justice Painting. They are your one-stop shop for all your painting needs. Offering professional painting services of interiors, exteriors, kitchen cabinets, drywall, and commercial work. With no job too tall or too small, just call Jerem for a free quote. That's Justice Painting, 620-757-2343.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that if you are listening to this announcement, then I have missed my intended audience? That's because you will most likely vote in the upcoming general election. This year, the stakes have never been higher, so please encourage your friends and family to exercise their right to vote in this November's election. And see Geotech at 115 West 5th for all your land surveying needs.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
KVOE News Time, 1042. KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE.com. Here today as our candidate forum, our last in our series, continues here today, again, with USD 253 Emporia School Board candidates Jennifer Thomas, Christina Faulkner, and Jamie Reaver joining us. Let's go to the phones. We do have at least two phone callers that are waiting right now, and all other text questions coming in here to us as well. Good morning. You're on the KVOE candidate forum here today.
Hi. It's Jennifer Baldwin. With the rise of threats and acts of intimidation towards educators across the nation made by MAGA followers using the rally cries of critical race theory and anti-mask, the Justice Department is making this the newest threat of domestic terrorism. These threats have been shown to oppress speech, and it has been disenfranchising other Americans. And my question is, how do you plan on addressing concerns of parents that don't agree with your particular values?
Christina, I'll let you start with that particular question, then we'll rotate through.
Sure. I plan on listening to people. If people have concerns, I am not afraid or unwilling to talk to anybody face-to-face that comes to the board meeting. In fact, Jennifer, I believe I offered the other day if you had any questions, and you declined at that time. I don't think that parents are domestic terrorists. I don't think that that a parent expressing their First Amendment right to put their view out there impedes my ability to do so whatsoever. So I think that's nonsensical. I think that this is another political play to actually silence one point of view. Really, is what is calling something a protest domestic terrorism. A protest is just a protest. It's not meant to be scary. They're very peaceful. We've had peaceful ones here. It doesn't oppress anyone else's point of view to put yours forth. I just disagree with the entire premise. And yeah, if a parent disagrees with me, I would love to sit down and have a discussion. They can say their points. I can say my points. And then, you know, if I get a bunch of parents having the same point of view and they want something brought up at a board meeting, even if I disagreed with it, I'd bring it up. We could discuss it as a board. You don't have to agree to get along.
Jamie, what are your thoughts on that question?
You know, I think back to March of 2020, April, and I remember that every day we were hearing about how teachers are heroes. How they are doing the impossible, and they're taking care of our kids every single day remotely, trying to get them to learn, help them to learn, and to be, you know, such an important support to them when there is so much uncertainty. And so it has been really sad to see and kind of frightening and to see that, you know, the teachers aren't viewed in that same way anymore, that because they had concerns about their health and safety, I mean, in terms of, you know, wellness, that all of a sudden they aren't the heroes that we thought that they were. So it is disappointing to see that turn. And I think as a school board member, as I am the same person I am today, I will always listen to both sides. I will have conversations. I will do my own research as well, and I'll ask others to do research. You know, I think the hardest part about the pandemic is it has just divided us so much. And I see people, I see friends on both sides, and we disagree on this one issue, but we agree on so much. And so I think we always have to remember that we have so much more in common than we don't, and we always have to start there. But, you know, in my opinion, we still have to make sure the teachers are the heroes that we know them to be.
Jennifer, what's your thoughts on that question?
Yes, and I just agree with so much of this. And, you know, the teachers are heroes. And we saw what they were willing and what they had to step up and do those first few months especially, and then what they're still dealing with through all of this. They still are, but I also know, and again, the funny thing to me in regards to the caller is that I have heard from so many people, both in person and via phone calls, I have heard from people who say to me, you know, we're not necessarily on the same, they're talking to me, and they're saying, we're not necessarily on the same side politically in terms of whatever, but I'm going to vote for you because I know you will protect my rights and you'll stand up for me, again, even though we're not on the same side. So a lot of them are looking for that. And these teachers are heroes, and our frontline workers and our hospitals, and Chris and I talked about this, are heroes. And yet we know that close to half of them in both those fields are at risk of being fired and just tossed away, disregarded, because they're not comfortable with having something injected into their body. That, to me, when you're threatening people's jobs and livelihoods, and again, kids being able to go, that's domestic terrorism. And so I think how you define that, and I think it's very dangerous to label anything that. But you also have to keep in mind, and this goes back to what I mentioned in my previous answer about using our corporate media as a source for where you get the news and for what you spread to people. But our media tells us a lot of stuff, and it's weird. I tell people, open your eyes and look around. Weird. I see a lot of people getting along and willing to talk to each other and willing to help each other. I see a lot of good, and our media doesn't portray or paint any of that. And I also see a lot of actual terrorism from one side, and it's given no attention, or it's excused, or it's ignored. And so it's very lopsided. Everything we are shown in the media is very lopsided to one particular side, and there's a lot of frustration with that, even amongst our teachers and even amongst some medical people who are brave enough to speak out about it. And so, again, and Jamie said, we need to be able to get along with everybody, listen to everybody, and be respectful to everybody. And that's what I have seen. Even when parents, some parents and community members have gotten upset at the school board meetings, it was nothing violent or threatening in any way. Maybe a little, whatever, immature, whatever. But people are frustrated, and they've never been put in this situation before. So you got to forgive them for not knowing necessarily, from sometimes just losing a little bit of control in terms of that frustration. They want to be heard. And I think if we can start listening to parents more, we'll see that simmer down a little. But right now, when people are thinking they might not be able to feed their family because they'll lose their job because of something that's mandated, whether that's by the school board or public health, yeah, you're going to get a lot of very, very dramatic reaction.
Okay, let's go to the next phone call. We've got a couple others holding right now at this particular point in time, 1049 on KVUE. Good morning. You're on Canada Forum here today. KVUE, good morning.
I have a question for each of the candidates. I know we can vote for three candidates in this election, but if we could only vote for one, I would like for each of the candidates to tell me why they are the best candidate that brings something to the table that none of the others can.
All right.
Thank you.
Jamie, that's your start on that, so go right ahead.
You know, I would appreciate your one vote because I have shown my deep commitment to USD 253 for many years, through my involvement in different committees and the programs that I've worked in partnership with USD 253. I feel like I know a little bit more about what's happening in our schools and what the needs are. I also have children in the school and who've had a great experience, but I want to make sure that every child in our school district has the same experience as them. You know, I have a lot of experience as a nonprofit administrator. I've led nonprofits for over 12 years now, and I'd be able to use those skills as well to help my time as a school board member.
All right, Jennifer, your answer on that.
I'm not sure. Again, this is much like the previous question where about if we didn't have COVID, would you be running? If there was, and I have to be honest because I've said this at multiple speaking events, if there was only one slot open and Chris was running, I would not have thrown my name in, and I'd be trying to help her with her campaign. She was someone who spoke up and spoke out at the very beginning of this when decisions were being made last summer, two summers ago. And she stood up at risk to herself, at risk, in terms of her workplace. And she spoke out when a lot of people wouldn't. And I really admired that. And I was thankful to have someone willing to speak out on behalf of true science and not just cherry-picked science. And so, honestly, if there was only one slot open and she was running, I would be supporting her. That being said, there are not. There are three slots. And when I saw that she was stepping in to run, and that Mike was running again, that was when I decided, well, there's that third slot, so I'm going to go ahead and step up and throw my name in the ring.
All right, Christina, how about you?
Well, thank you. That was very kind of you. I appreciate that. I kind of feel the same way, actually. I'm thinking, well, I mean, I would be okay if you vote for Jen or for me, either one, if you only had one vote. But I suppose what I can bring to the table would be, you know, a fresh viewpoint, and I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to say what I think is right and to be a voice for the parents that really have been left out in the cold as far as having any say for the last 18 months. As well as I am very capable of working with others and listening to others. And like I said, just bringing a fresh viewpoint to our education, and I think that's just something we really need right now, not the complacent, let's keep doing what we've been doing. I think it's time for some fresh ideas.
I've got three callers here, but I want to loop back to a prior question. And Jennifer, I got to ask you a question here. Near the end of the answer from Jennifer Baldwin's question, you mentioned about public health and cherry-picking other sources of information. My question to you is, it sounds like you're discounting that particular guidance and advice, for one, but it also sounds that that runs counter to the answer of using all sources of information to come to a best conclusion.
How does
that resolve, and how can that be resolved?
Yeah, and no, I'm not discounting them at all. They have a very important job to do. I know that they oftentimes feel overwhelmed, and you know, everybody is trying to do the best that they can. The frustration lies, and I'll go back to Chris's previous answer. She mentioned two doctors by name that are very, very credible, very credible. And what we have are people, for whatever reason, and again, that's where so much of the frustration lies. It's like, why are they not being listened to? Why is this not being referenced or used as a source of information to make decisions? And so much, and I'm just going to be honest, you know, the CDC, World Health Organization, all of these, if anyone has looked into the politicization of these and to the political ties that they have, there is frustration there because there is an agenda. And so when we have to go by whatever those and then an infectious disease doctor, you know, Fauci say, there's a great deal of frustration from those who educate themselves beyond, again, the corporate media and beyond the CDC and the WHO, who have very, very somewhat sinister ties to a lot of organizations. And you follow the money and you follow that trail. And it is kind of scary. And again, it's frustrating to a lot of people. I'm not trying to discredit them. What we are asking for, again, what a lot of parents, what a lot of community members are asking for, is for them to acknowledge the published research, the science that says, you know what they're saying and what they're choosing to look at, again, that cherry picking, it doesn't add up with this. And these are very credible, again, MDs. We heard from dozens of MDs in March and April and May of 2020. And a lot of us were like, but dozens of MDs were pointing out that there were treatments that could, there were therapeutics that could prevent COVID. There were therapeutics that could make a person better almost immediately. And those got mocked. Those got ignored. Those got blown out into things were said about them that wasn't what was said at all. Drinking bleach and this and that. That wasn't what was said. They were citing actual published research about these medications, and it was ignored. And a lot of us just want to know why. Why? Because, again, it's published, it's there. Chris and I, we've talked about how we sit in our office and we pore over article after article, and we know what we're reading, and we know this is credible, and yet you turn on your corporate media, and it will say exactly the opposite. And so a lot of people on both sides of the aisle are having their eyes open that none of this does not add up, and why are we not getting this information, and why is it not being fed to the masses? Why are people like, you know, us having to search it out on our own? Because if I wasn't doing that, if I wasn't putting forth the time to do that research and talk to people and, like Chris said, listen to these podcasts from these actual experts, I would be going along with whatever I was seeing when I turned on the TV or the radio. And so,
hey, Jennifer, I've got to jump in here real quick because we are way behind time right now. Okay. So I've got two more breaks to get to, and we've got a bunch of more phone callers that are still with us. Plus, we've got text questions. So we're going to take our third break here. Okay, we'll just do one break. Okay, we'll do that then, and we'll get to a couple more questions here on the KVOE okay. Sutherland studio line, and we'll close down our KVOE candidate forum here shortly. It's 10:57 on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. Our candidate forums here today are brought to you by Justice Painting, by Geotech, by ESB Financial, and by Ray Roofing.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia in Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Looking to get painting done but don't know who to call? Well, just call the folks at Justice Painting. They are your one-stop shop for all your painting needs. Offering professional painting services of interiors, exteriors, kitchen cabinets, drywall, and commercial work. With no job too tall or too small, just call Jerem for a free quote. That's Justice Painting, 620-757-2343.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6 in Emporia.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's candidate forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
KVOE News Time is 10:59, 1400 KVOE, Emporia, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. Our final candidate forum has been pretty well rooted in COVID-19 response here today. And our guests, again, are Christina Faulkner, Jamie Reaver, and Jennifer Thomas. We still have three questions to get to on the KVOE Sutherland studio line here today. I haven't even gotten to the text questions yet, and we're unfortunately pressed for time here to get our questions. So let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the KVOE candidate forum here for the Emporia School Board today.
Good morning. If a boy says he's a girl, should he be allowed to participate in girls' sports and use the girls' locker rooms? Just wondered what their opinion was.
It's not the first question on that topic that's come in. Appreciate your call. Jennifer, I believe it's your turn to answer on that.
And he said sports and bathrooms. Was that that's
yes.
the question?
Yes, those were the two. And we are going to limit question answers
right.
here, so for the length of time.
Okay, just for a short answer, no, I don't feel that they should.
Okay, Christina, how about you?
I agree. No, they should not.
Jamie?
And I think it's so much more complicated than a yes-no question. I think that, you know, there are children who do transition from male to female, female to male, and we as a school district need to be supportive of them.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the KVOE Canada Forum here today.
Hello.
Hello, what's your question?
Yeah, I'm. My name's Craig, and I am 71 years old. I've been exposed to and had smallpox, chickenpox, mumps, measles, and I've had vaccinations for all of those. I can remember as a child standing in line in school getting shots for polio. We no longer have polio, or at least not to any damaging effect. And I don't understand this politicization of a pandemic. And I don't understand people that say, well, the people we hire to do this job and make these decisions for the health of our children and our communities are terrible people because they're of a different political party. I don't understand this politicization of a pandemic. It's negative. In my view, what is the views of all of you on this, putting politics into a what is a medical issue, and we hire people to make those medical decisions, and they are vital. And I use polio as an example.
Sure.
We no longer have it. That's the question for all of you, I suppose, and that's it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I have a feeling I know where our answers are going to go. Christina, I'll start with you.
Well, I completely disagree with politicizing a medical issue. So I agree with you. This should not be a political issue. This should be an issue where we look at data. We have public policy experts from every side debate and then come to a conclusion. Unfortunately, things got... Science does not work like you figure it out in 1 month and then it's done. It's an evolving topic. And instead, we acted like the decision was finished early on, and we've done things that we've never done before for infection, like lockdowns and things like that, that have been incredibly damaging. And I'm 100% for just looking at it scientifically and moving on. I wish coronavirus was going to be like poliovirus and that we had a vaccine that works for a coronavirus like it did for polio, but unfortunately they're not similar in that, again, one can protect you from severe disease, but it doesn't get rid of the virus. So we're not getting rid of coronavirus anytime soon, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you. Jamie, what's your answer to that?
You know, Craig, I agree with, you know, everything that you said. It is just really sad that we've politicized all of this. You know, and I think what's so important to remember is, and we all know, we've never lived in a pandemic before, and we're all trying to figure out the science, trying to figure out how to take the best path forward. And, you know, it's really sad that, you know, even something like school board has just become so dominated by COVID. And I really hope that, I wish we had more time today, because there's so many more questions that are really important and to making sure that our kids receive the education they deserve, that teachers and staff are supported. But the politicization of COVID it's kind of heartbreaking, because, you know, I've always believed in government. I believe in science. And we've gone so far beyond that now. And it's really, we really do need to get back to what's at stake here, and that is educating our kids.
Thank you. Jennifer, what's your answer?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with all of that both of them said. And we all do believe in science and medicine. And the fact is polio didn't have a 99.7 recovery rate. This does. And so there are also, like I said, medicines that can prevent coronavirus and medicines that can cure it. And polio didn't have either of those. So there's a big difference. And again, it doesn't take much education to know that. So would love to be able to discuss that. But like Jamie said, there's so many other important issues here. And we need to quit politicizing everything, but especially education.
Okay, thank you. I believe we've got one more phone call here on the KVUE Sutherland studio line. Let's go to that right now. Good morning. You're on the KVUE candidate forum here today.
Good morning. COVID is a very important thing. I have a couple of other things I really would like to hear from the candidates. Critical race theory. It is supposedly not being taught. It's not in the syllabuses or the curriculum. However, it's being taught. What is your thinking about using critical race theory? Is that appropriate for our children? The other is sex education at an extremely young age. What's your opinion on that?
Jamie, you're up in the rotation to start us off on that.
You know, I do take heart when I hear from teachers that we do not teach critical race theory in our schools. I believe that that's more of a university-level experience. And so, no, I don't think we teach it. I don't think we should teach it. Now, I do think it's really important to, you know, really, you know, teach the history of our country and the history of the world. And I also think that we need to make sure that in our different school districts, that all students who attend our schools, you know, see themselves represented in our education and in the teaching of history. And I think sex education should be taught in schools, but it needs to be at the high school level and not younger than that.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer, what is your answer to that?
Yeah, and with the sex ed, even if they start younger, because I know there are certain topics related to that where they need to start younger, that's fine, but parents should know exactly what is going to be taught, how it's going to be taught. What we have seen, and it's gone viral in multiple situations, is teachers trying to push way, way too much and just weird information on kids, and that is what is scaring a lot of people. So with both of these issues, critical race, which Jamie's right, that tends to be more at the upper levels, and it's not written in the curriculum at the lower levels, but we do know that it is
they make reference to it. And again, parents, that's fine, but parents need to be told that that's what's going on and have a right to have their child sit out or, again, know exactly what is being told. There needs to be more transparency. And I know this caller, that's probably, you know, what you're getting to. There needs to be transparency. Parents need to have access to what's being taught, how it's being taught, the things that are being said. And I think most educators would be open to that.
How about you, Christina? What's your answer to that?
Critical race theory should not be being taught in our schools. I'm not sure that it's being taught per se, but a lot of the ideas that come from it are being pushed on our kids as fact. And I think the problem, there's a problem that arises when a child born at the same time as another child, because their skin colors are different, one is blamed for the problems of the other. That makes zero sense. And critical race theory and the 1619 Project, a lot of that, the 1619 Project didn't even really have academic citations. It was really just an opinion piece. And the way this was culturally taken on in our society is really inexplicable to me, but it certainly has no place in our schools.
Want to ask a question here about political action committee support. This is something that we got here from our past forum here Tuesday, and ask whether you're getting any political action committee support. Jennifer, I'm going to ask you that to start us off here.
No, I absolutely hate PACs, especially at the national level. I have only received support from very generous, just local community members who have supported my campaign.
Okay. Christina, how about you?
The same. No PAC support, just local community members and myself.
All right. Jamie, what about you?
I echo what the two have already said, and I think that, you know, elections belong to our communities. We know what's best for our communities, and national PACs, state PACs should stay out of school board elections.
We've had a lot of discussions here about current pay situations here for teachers, whether it has to do with straight pay, the stipends that were discussed here last night and approved by the school board through the ESSER funds or through benefits like insurance. Jamie, let's start here with you about your thoughts here on the current wage/benefit situation here for teachers and how that can be improved.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that at last night's school board meeting, there was a premium pay stipend issued to teachers and staff, and that they did increase the contribution to health insurance premiums. But that's just a start. You know, we need to make sure that our schools are the absolutely best, and the best way to do that is to make sure our teachers receive the compensation that they deserve. You know, we need to start looking at other school districts that are similar to us to see what their base rate is, what insurance benefits they offer their employees, and what is the district's contribution to those. You know, I just truly believe that if we, you know, invest in our teachers, that means we're investing more deeply in our kids.
Okay. Jennifer, what's your thoughts here on the current situation here for wages and benefits district-wide?
Yes, I will, and I hope our previous caller is listening, but, you know, Jamie and I, we do not agree on everything, but I agree with every single thing that she just said. It is absolutely so important. We need to be able to recruit and retain the best, all of them, faculty, staff, coaches, admins possible, and right now we just have a very hard time doing that, and the fact that so many of them are just literally cannot afford their benefits is it's something, and again, last night, that's a small step, but it is something that we've got to make sure that does not happen again. It puts them in a situation that no one should have to be in. So that is something, I completely agree with everything she just said.
Okay. Christina, what's your thoughts here on the wage and benefit situation here for the district as it currently stands?
Of course. I think this is a unanimous issue. I think every candidate, as well as every current board member, would like to support the teachers in this best way that we can, and put money behind the teachers as much as possible, as much as the budget allows. I don't think that's a divisive issue at all. I've had some really great teachers for my kids, and I've even told them separately outside, if there's something you need for your classroom, let me know. I'd be happy to help support in any way I can, and I think we all agree on that.
Okay. I've got one more question that's come to me directly, and it's come to me on more than one occasion here over the last month or so, and then we'll get into closing statements here. Have any of you spread political conspiracy theories on social media? And Jennifer, this happens to come right to you.
No, everybody, each side would call the other ones conspiracy theory. That's an abusive term. It's condescending at best. And that label, much like many of the domestic terrorism and all that, it's unfair, and it shouldn't even be allowed. So no.
Okay. Christina, what about you?
No, I wasn't even on Facebook, actually, until the Run for School Board, and it's merely a candidate page. And I'm only on Instagram to basically post pictures of my kids. I'm not a big fan of social media.
Okay. Jamie, how about you?
Chris, I think you stole my line, because my social media is primarily my kids and my cat. So the answer to your question is no, I've not spread any conspiracy theories.
Okay. Well, it's 11:12 here on KVUE, and this version of our candidate forum is almost done, but we do need to give closing statement time here. So, Christina, you'll get to kick us off here. Your closing statement here as we wrap up our candidate forum today.
Well, I just want to say, I think by our responses here, you can certainly see that I have a passion for education and for doing what's right for the children of our district. I mentioned briefly the testing scores that were put out last night. I encourage everybody to go to the district website, look at the board documents, and you can access those test scores for yourself. Our kids, by and large, across the board in reading and math, around 50% and sometimes more are at risk in math and reading. And I think that is stunning, and certainly not in a good way. We didn't get to the learning loss question that you had given us in advance, but
right.
I feel that it can't be proven, but certainly I think that there has to be some of that being the reason. Like I said, other school districts went to school last year. We called ours hybrid 1 in 8 days, not acceptable. Other school districts don't have mask mandates. I mean, other school districts around the country, around the world, are moving forward, and our kids are getting left behind. I really want the opportunity. If you'll give me your vote, I'll fight for your kids.
All right, Christina, thank you. Jamie, your closing statement today.
Thank you. You know, there are 6 candidates running for school board, and there's no doubt that we all want what's best for our community's children. We just have different paths on how to get there. You know, I'm running for school board because I've had a sustained commitment to our schools for the last decade through service and partnership. I know I've seen what our schools are capable of, and I want to play a leadership role in making them even stronger. You know, we have a lot of work to do. Our ACT and state assessment scores are lower than the state average. Our graduation rate is way too low. We need to do better for them, and we need fresh energy on the school board to really take a long, hard look at all of that. I'll keep students and their families and staff and teachers at the forefront of every decision I make. You know, early voting starts on Saturday and runs through November 2nd, so I hope everyone gets out to vote. And when you do, I hope I have your support.
Okay. And Jennifer, you get to close things down. Your final comment here today.
Okay, yes. Like they said, we have a lot of challenges, and everyone running knows that. Everyone currently on the board knows that. We have many parents, students, and educators who don't currently feel like they are being heard or represented. And the main way to change that is to vote and really vote for those who aren't just going to go along with the current status quo. I also encourage, and I've said this at multiple events that I've attended and to all sorts of people, I encourage everyone to stay involved, to pay attention, and to show up, even if those that you aren't supporting for Board of Education don't get elected. Keep showing up and don't back down. Too many of us just kind of throw up our hands in frustration and kind of slink away and give up. And that's what has, not just in education, but also in our nation, that's what has us in the situation that we're in, where, again, our rights to even go to work and go to school are being threatened. So we need to do a much better job holding any and all elected officials accountable, from national all the way down to local. And that has not been done in the past. So many people just vote, you know, because of the letter behind the name, and then don't pay attention to what's actually done, and it's put us just in a very, very difficult situation. So, yes, most like everyone else has said, I would just really appreciate your vote on November 2nd.
Okay. Jennifer Thomas, thank you so much for joining us here today, and best of luck here through November 2nd.
Thank you.
Jamie Reaver, thank you very much for your time, and good luck here as the election gets closer.
Thanks so much, Chuck, for
All right.
your time.
You're welcome. And Christina Faulkner, thank you very much for your time here, and good luck here as the election gets close.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that wraps up our final KVOE candidate forum. As our candidates mentioned right now, we've got the mail ballots going out here this week and all the way through October 26th. The only off-site election voting opportunity here for you, if you'd prefer to do that route, is coming up Saturday night at 2 at the fairgrounds. Advance voting at the courthouse begins Monday. That'll continue through noon, November 1st, weekdays 8 to 5, again at the courthouse here in Lyon County. That wraps up our KVOE candidate forum. Again, our thanks to Christina Faulkner, Jamie Reaver, and Jennifer Thomas here today. It's 11:17 on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
Candidate Forums 2021, brought to you in part by ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, 115 West 15th Avenue in Emporia. Justice Painting. No job too tall or too small. Call Justice Painting 757-2343. And Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Candidate Forums 2021 on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia. All the information you need, live and local.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen.